Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus. Well, lots of rants coming up. I'm a little hungover in this show. I got to be honest with you. I'll explain more about that in the first half. And then we do March Madness as well.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat. Up and lose. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. A new month of Adam's Monthly Nut has arrived. April will feature Righteous Felon Beef Jerky with flavors like Shea, Potle, Guevara, and Habanero Escobar. Expand laces, because who doesn't want to turn every shoe into a slip-on? At least sometimes. You'll also get a copy of Daddy Stop Talking and a bottle of your choice. Prep your mails box because Adam's Monthly Nut is on its way. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Rachel Yucatel, with Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and the final matchups of the Bittersweet 16 in March Madness Madness. And now, it's April, but he ain't no fool. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on a mandate. You get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Paul Bryan.
He hit me, and it felt like a kiss.
We have a mashup from Kalen to get to. It's a Kalen. Phil Robertson Bubba Gump mashup, which escaped me, but I think it'll all snap into focus for you. We have I gotta be upfront with you. I am hung over, man.
Oh boy.
I went out and had a 6-hour dinner with Chris Morgan from Fast and Furious.
Ooh la la. All right, tell us all. Where'd you go?
I'm sure, ordered the drinks for you.
Oh, he knows. Here's how specific.
He has a martini order, right?
His martini, not only do we have, you know, very specific gin recommendations, but one pearl onion, one olive.
Oh, the Gibson traditional hybrid.
Yeah, very, very traditional.
Ooh la la. No, the traditional is the olive. The Gibson is the onion. He does
the hybrid.
Right. Sorry, the hybrid.
You really are hungover.
Yeah, started off with the martinis. And then,
do you remember what kind of gin he goes for? He obviously calls his own.
He wants something that nobody ever has. That's your power move.
Buddy, I get it.
He's probably made it up. Like he's Because it's a sure. sweet move. Like you go to the, you know, you go have a martini and a gin martini, any kind of gin. Then they go, you have flapstack macker. And they go, no, we don't have that. And then it seems like, okay. Seems like,
well, I guess I'll go for something lesser than.
Right, right. So he goes for one or two. They don't have the one or two because I don't know anyone who has the one or two. And then we settle on whatever. We drink the martinis. At a certain point, it was a six-hour dinner. Well, it was 5 hours and like 45 minutes.
We're not going to quibble over the 15 minutes.
The entire place was closed. At a certain point, we got a bottle of wine. And then at a certain point, we got into, let's try. Now, it's the Parkway Grill. And the Parkway Grill is sort of two restaurants. There's the Parkway Grill in Pasadena, and then there's the sister restaurant, which is right next to it. And they sort of share a parking lot. And we're sitting outside. And all I really recall is at the end, he said, let's try an old fashioned from the other place.
Jesus.
And wow, you're doing the wheel.
He's trying to get you drunk like he's going to take advantage of you.
He may have. And it wouldn't have been a bad night.
It was
for me.
Welcome. It was welcome.
Yeah, I was kind of sitting with my legs pretty far apart. Yeah, so I could have been asking for it. But then at a certain point, I think the last drink of the night was, let's try an old fashioned from the other one. So let's compare the two old fashioned offerings. Old fashions are awesome,
are you
by the way.
Position to compare?
They both tasted good to me.
Pretty good to me.
They're both wet.
And then at some point, I think the waiter who was sort of hanging out with us because the place had closed 3 hours earlier came out with the huge ceramic tequila bottle. The big ceramic tequila, the white with the blue or whatever.
White.
Yeah.
We got one of those.
And he's like, hey, try some of this. And I was like, sure, I've only had 11 drinks. Why not do this?
That's too bad. That's some high-end tequila.
Yeah. Yes. I could have been raped and killed and left by the freeway by the Uber driver, and I wouldn't have pressed charges. Yeah. What is it? Is it
Classe Azul?
Yeah, Classe Azul.
It's 2.5 feet tall.
Yeah, that thing came out, and then that was about it. But it was 7 to 12:45, and my last words to Sonny was like, "I'll be back early. We'll watch that movie." Never.
He's waiting on the steps with his catcher mitt.
Single teardrop.
That guy's such a great talker and such a great guy, and has so many, you know, cool projects with The Rock and everything coming up. And of course, I always need to know about what's going on with Hobbs and Shaw and Fast and Furious and everything. I mean, I should have known because our lunches are 3 hours, so dinner should be 6 hours, and it is. And there's no lulls, and there's no I didn't remember finishing half the stories I started, but anyway, got the tomahawk steak.
Ooh. For two?
Yeah, I like the tomahawk because it's too big to take home. The bone is too big, so they just put the foil around it. You essentially creates a weapon for your ride home.
A holder, basically a holder.
I could have stormed the Capitol building with that goddamn tomahawk steak. Did that? Oh, did the surf and the turf?
Oh,
yeah. What's
nice
that?
Nice to remember.
Yeah. Went
Do you remember the wine? Text Chris Morgan from Adam's.
I remember saying the words Russian River. That was that's what I said. I said
Northern California.
I like the Russian River stuff.
Okay. What came, no one knows.
Yeah, no. But that's the words. Those are the words I chose. Yeah, you know, you've been there for a while when at a certain point the waiter's sitting down and just drinking with you.
Yeah.
And there's not another human being in the place. But woke up a little hungover this morning.
Gotta be
truthful about it. A little off my game. I've tried everything, working on it. You know, got my liquid IV going. Got there's just no that the problem with the hangover, I realize, is You got to make a dent in it that night. Yes. You got to start that night. Never do that night. It's always like, you know, I can always tell because, you know, by the side of the bed, you got the pants where the one leg's inside out and the other's not. You gave up on it somewhere trying to get your pants off. Yeah, fuck it. I'll just pull them off.
Still in the loops.
Still in the loops. But needs a certain amount of attention that evening, I realize.
The water, the Advil,
yes,
the saltines.
Never put the time in. Always just crash out, and then it's time to pay the fiddler. Heading off to Leno's shop after we tape this today to do some sort of event over there. Still a little unclear, but Leno's great. Leno.
Bring the Chick-fil-A. Bring the sandwiches.
No, don't mention Chick-fil-A.
Leno, Leno's cute. He's kind of simultaneously the most regular guy you'll ever meet and maybe the most irregular guy you'll meet. But
he seems peculiar in some ways, but just incredibly normal in other ways.
He's one of these guys. I don't know, like, you know, certain people have, like, different relationships with their phone. First off, I realize how goddamn lazy I am, which is if I can't use my earbuds now, I won't even use the phone. It's like I'm not going to hold this thing up to the side of my head like some kind of caveman.
That's
like,
right.
I'm so damn spoiled by the earbuds that, I mean, I might do a little speaker action, but I won't even put the phone up to the side of my head. Anyway, Leno's one of these guys where if he calls you at some point and you don't answer, which is what I do because I never bring my phone into the studio. So I just shut my phone off. I go into the studio and I'm in here for hours on end sometimes. And then Jay, he's one of these guys who if he calls you and you don't pick up, he'll call again. And then he'll go like, when were you? You know what I mean? Kind of thing. And I go, I was doing a podcast. I called a couple times, you know, and I go, yeah, I know. I'm just, you know, I'm working. And he's like, is this a good number for you? Like, yeah, it's a great number. It's probably the best.
Jay, remember when you used to work and you filmed a TV show?
Right.
How many calls did you take?
Because I called, you know, and I don't know where you were. So he does that. But he's kind of cute that way. And so I'll go over to a shop and I'll see him and I'll see Bernard and all his guys and we'll tell me all the new cars he's got, and then we'll get into it. Tells me his Jay Leno's Garage line of automotive products is doing quite nicely.
Oh,
I think.
Like what? What's he got?
He's, you know, it's weird. It took him a long time, but, you know, spray detailer and instant wax and glass cleaner and just that whole line of stuff.
Stuff for us. Not like, you know, the intricate stuff. Like stuff that I could do.
Yeah, like this spray detailer's it's good stuff. Like you don't have to take your car to the car wash, but, you know, or every so often. But either way, that's doing well. So I'll get you guys caught up on that after I see Mr. Leno in a couple hours. We got Kalen's mashup with Phil Robertson and Bubba Gump.
Shrimp is the fruit of the sea.
Every way known to man to eat a duck, we have it down.
You can barbecue it, boil it, broil it, bake it, saute it.
We boil ducks, bake ducks.
Pan fry, deep fry, stir fry.
Fry ducks, grill ducks.
That's about it.
Yeah, well, nice job, Kalen.
Well done. He just randomly sent me that today, but I really appreciated it.
Good for Kalen.
Getting high and doing some work.
Getting high and doing some work. All right, I had a thought about bespoke shoes. You know, I always talk about ways to kind of measure success. I usually use my own family as a sort of negative example, as a control group.
Then we're all quite well.
We talked about how many clickers do you possess? Mm-hmm. How many have you used, you know, over even expanding? I was telling this to Matt DeAndres, like, yeah, well, how about like a key card or something like for parking at work? I was like, nope. That would suggest you worked at a place that needed a key card, you know. But I was thinking about shoes. I feel like I brought it up before. But, you know, a well-lived life, we'll try to figure it out. Is it 3.5 bespoke shoes? If you have
Jesus,
if you have dancing shoes, that's a good sign. You know, if you have your own golf shoes, that's probably at a certain station in life. You know,
I'm totally with you on this line. But when you say bespoke, do you mean made by a cobbler for you to fit, or do you mean
I shouldn't have said that. Just a genre.
Specific instance.
Yeah, okay. I shouldn't say bespoke.
These shoes are for this.
These shoes are for this purpose, not bespoke. You're right. So, golf shoes, good. Mm-hmm. Dance shoes. Bowling shoes, driving shoes. I have
even tuxedo
race
shoes,
car
like
driving
shiny ones that are for block tie events.
Patent leather, which could mean that you were like in the military, for instance, like dress shoes for like the military. Volleyball shoes, even basketball shoes, cleats, track cleats. You know, the more of those kinds of specific shoes for specific endeavors, probably the more well-rounded and possibly happier your life has been.
Boat shoes, do those count for double?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of folks wear them on land, but
not on the actual boat.
Also, I don't mean to shit on anyone's hobbies, but is there a bigger chasm than bowling shoes to driving shoes?
No, but yeah, you can rent shoes, obviously, at the lane. Sounds weird now that everyone did that. But
if you have your own bowling shoes, that's something.
That's something.
Yeah, having your own bowling shoes is good. And then you get into, like, spikes for climbing a frozen waterfall.
I was just going to say, if you have water shoes, like, with the because you're hiking through a rocky river.
Yes.
That's something.
I will add waders to that. Maybe you're doing a little fly fishing, something like that. So what's the over under on a successful life? Is it?
I think guys versus girls is going to be very different.
Well, I was just going to say, does that mean I peaked in high school? Because then I had character shoes, tap shoes, ballet shoes. I had all the shoes, but I don't do a lot of genre specific shoes anymore.
What are character shoes?
They're like they're a T strap, so they're you can't like walk out of them. So if you're dancing or if you're
the ones that go over the top
cross,
that sounds awesome.
They're not. They're maybe a half inch to 3/4 inch heel. They're very square. They're very utility for theater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, we're looking at them now. Yeah, they look like Lord of the Dance shoes. To me, or Lady of the Dance. Yeah, I guess. And then there's boots and like hiking, but you have to be used for hiking, you know, outdoorsy stuff.
I have the boat shoes. I have the river shoes because, and I have snow shoes, like actual boots, you know.
Oh, that's a good one.
Wait, that look like the tennis rackets?
No. These are like lines, you know.
Oh, okay.
He's not tracking convicts. That's for tracking things.
I grab a pinch of the snow and taste it. It's close.
That's right.
But I'm trying to think of what else. My athletic career is, you know, way in my rearview mirror, so I don't have the golf shoes. I don't have cleats.
A pair of cleats for softball is a good sign. All right. Let's see. We have some Cosmo dating tips. Ooh. We're going to revisit because I think Rachel Yucatel is plugging up dating websites. So
website.
Oh, really?
The grand dame of dating websites. I can't wait to hear about this. If I am not mistaken, she is plugging the Sugar Daddy website.
Oh, really?
Am I? I hope I'm not wrong about that because I'm very excited about this.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
How does it
create a profile?
How does it work?
We're going to find out. I don't know. I can't wait. This is what I imagine. This is the one that matches the sugar daddy to the sugar baby because everybody's looking for something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's find out.
Well, I'm excited to talk to her because I saw the Tiger documentary.
Yeah, me too.
Kind of curious with this car crash. They now see no signs of him braking or trying to do like an evasive maneuver. So according to some of the latest stuff, it just seems like he was passed out or asleep. Kind of a weird thing to be in the morning. too. Like, God,
plus the reports were he left agitated. You know, like, it wasn't like he was in a sleepy state.
Right, and he was on his way to work.
And
to,
he was like rushing to get somewhere. It's all very weird that but I don't think there's like a toxicology thing. I don't think they checked or some version of that. Anyway, we'll see if she has thoughts about that. Also, there's a vid, a Joel Grover thing that I wanted to get to. Oh, we have the, we'll get to that. We have the Cosmo. We have me. We have me answering Cosmo questions from the 90s.
Yeah, this is from December 1997. I should point out that they have spelled your name correctly, and you are the co-host of MTV's Loveline.
Wow, it's all fixed up.
Yeah.
The question is, how can I get him to notice me? Adam Carolla says, if a guy's interested in you, he's looking for any excuse to ask you out. If you've given him the slightest opportunity and he doesn't bite, it's not because you didn't send a clear enough message, but because he's not interested. Bring up a new movie. If he says he doesn't like love stories, he's telling you he's not available. You could hit that guy over the head with a board, and he wouldn't notice you in any romantic way. Men may be a little dumb when it comes to relationships, but they're geniuses at the pickup part.
Does this make you the original? He's just not that into you?
I'm sure.
You could have scooped the whole Greg Bear thing.
I know. I could have been on Oprah. Where did Drew write his column? Because now...
Oh, that was for Sassy Magazine.
Gio pointed out to me that Drew wrote a column for Sassy Magazine.
Oh, yes.
I guess the way it worked back then is if you're on MTV and you did a show on MTV, at some point people just come to you and go, do you guys want to do a column for Sassy Magazine or whatever?
That would be my achievement day for the rest of my life.
Did you read Sassy?
Of course I did. Sassy was great.
Oh, really?
It was. Oh, yeah. It was so bad good. You know, it was for teenagers and preteens. I just thought that was, you know, that's how the world worked. I want to look like her. I want to think like this Adam Carolla guy telling me how a guy likes me. I mean, this was your Bible as a little kid.
Sassy. I don't think there it's there. I guess I don't know what the circulation of Tiger Beat or Teen Beat or Sassy. I think that's all gone. The internet is. Replace all that stuff?
I don't know. I guess the internet. That's sad. There was nothing better than getting that subscription and getting your Sassy magazine in the mail or begging your mom to let you have one from the grocery store. It's a big deal.
Remember that. Just remember the notion. How about just the notion that a, you know, $1.39 magazine was a big ticket buy at the grocery store. You know, come on, Dad. Sports Illustrated, come on. I don't know. Christmas is not coming up for another 4 months, and your birthday's already passed. Like, can you imagine just telling your kid, like, no magazine. You shall not read.
Yeah.
I know you would like to involve yourself in this endeavor, but I shall not heed this request. Like, it sounds so insane now if you were – my kids would literally be confused if I told them, no, you can't. We're not buying that. We can't afford that magazine. Like, I don't even know if they would ask. I think they would just go get the magazine and throw it onto the conveyor belt.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely. And I don't know how expensive this was. All I know is they sold it at the grocery store. But every single time my mom took me to Hy-Vee, which I don't think we have out here, the Hy-Vee grocery store, I would go to the cosmetics section. Hy-Vee. They also had an indoor, like a you know, where, you know, like the hot food bar. They also had like booths, so it felt very fancy if your mom had you eat in there.
The hot food bar was another no fly zone. Like, don't even go near that.
Once in a while, my mom, if I was grocery shopping with her late, I'd get to go pick out, you know, some macaroni and cheese and chicken, and we'd go sit at the booth, which was fantastic. But she would leave me at the cosmetic section, and I would just stare and not move. Stare at the Debbie Gibson Electric Youth perfume bottle with the little pink coil inside, knowing I'd never get it. But I just wanted to be close to it.
Yeah, I don't know, or what's going on? Is everything just shat out of China now, or what is everything cheap, or am I just rich, or what the fuck is going on?
Maybe,
but
maybe a little of everything.
Maybe a little of everything, but man, there were a lot of rules about sections you could go to, and you would never, you'd go to Sears, be there for 3 hours, and leave with nothing. That's just literally just walking up and down the toy aisle, staring at stuff. You have the definition. Oh, Gina, do you have Leah Thompson's?
I do. Right here.
So this is how do I get the guy to notice me?
Yes.
Okay.
When you like a guy, it's really hard to act normal. But the best way to get a man to notice you is to relax, be funny, and be yourself. Men really appreciate a sense of humor. It makes people feel at ease. And it has always worked for me. Most importantly, feel comfortable with who you are and project that confidence in a friendly way. That's what turns a man on. The overtly sexual stuff gets you nowhere. Guys may notice, but they're going to be too intimidated to come up to you.
What? The overtly sexual stuff gets you nowhere?
Every syllable is wrong. Every syllable in that is wrong. And I'll tell you why. First off, if the overtly sexual stuff, you know, the plunging necklines and the makeup done up, if that was not effective, it would have gone the way the fucking dodo 5,000 years ago.
Yes.
But it still works.
Women would not be keeping up with all the work and expense that involves with the overtly sexual stuff. This other part where you're supposed to feel good about yourself, you know, feel comfortable in your own skin. I don't like that. I like insecure. I like damaged goods. I like low self-esteem. I'm looking for the lame gazelle that can't keep up with the pack. Right. I'm the cheetah. I want to pick them off. You know what I mean?
Don't trust men.
That's right.
Don't
That's
trust
right.
yourself.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm not trying to fuck Shecky Green.
Yeah, Thank you. I run my fingers through my hair and you flinch. That kind of that kind of self-esteem. Dawson, you have Drew? Oh.
No, this is another one from you.
We have another one.
Oh, we have another one. Here we go.
I said, I love you first. Now what? His side. Adam Carolla says, wait 5 minutes, and if he doesn't say anything, tell him, don't speak. I know you're overwhelmed. You may have been thinking about this for weeks, then dropped it in his lap, expecting an immediate reaction. Give him 2 weeks of non-pressure. He may be scared or confused. After some time, you can say, I said something that meant a lot to me. I'd like to know what you're thinking. If he can't give you an answer, maybe it's time to change the relationship.
Savvy. Yeah, sober, savvy.
Absolutely.
No Chris Morgan drinks that.
No. What did Leah Thompson say?
Let's see. She says, it's sexist to think a man's supposed to say I love you first. I'm all for saying how you feel in a relationship. Get it out in the open and find out how he feels. Sure, the guy may have a scary reaction and you'll feel like you've made a fool of yourself, but you haven't. You spoke from your heart. If he doesn't say it back right away, give him time. Bottom line, own up to your feelings. If you're in love and he isn't, then it's time you found that out and moved on.
I agree with Leah.
Yeah.
You have Drew's sassy tip.
Yeah, so this is from Sassy Magazine. They put the call out, is your heart a yearning or your bod a burning? Then write to Dr. Drew with some questions.
The little Gina.
What year is
this? This is 95.
95?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh.
Over 25 years old.
Yeah, so this first one's Trouble Bound. I'm 15 and my boyfriend is 24.
Whoa.
The drop.
I love him, and I want to lose my virginity to him, but I don't want to get in trouble. If I consent to having sex with him, can he still catch heat from keeping it safe? Mm. And Dr. Drew says, yes, he can still get in trouble, because according to the law, you are not old enough to render consent. The age of consent varies slightly from state to state, but it's usually 18 years of age. The law protects the younger individual because a sexual relationship between two people with a significant age gap can be emotionally damaging to the younger partner. Think about the reasons your boyfriend find dating you attractive. Does it put him in a position of power? Does it impress his friends? Is he uncomfortable with women his own age? Examine your reasons too. Does it impress your friends? Does it irk your parents? Do you enjoy the raised eyebrows you get when you're with him? With a 9-year gap, your life experiences are very different from his. Are you both concerned about the same social issues? When he was 15, people were just beginning to talk about AIDS. Are you into the same music, or does he think L7 is a brand of detergent? Consider how much you have in common and decide if the relationship is right.
I mean, you know, it's still right.
Did L7 do bowling ball?
L7 did
the Breeders pretend, who did Cannonball.
Oh, Cannonball. Sorry. There's Pretend That We're Dead
pretend
or something.
We're dead, yeah.
Pretend mm-hmm. That We're Dead. You guys remember that song? It's a K-Rock hit from, I don't know, 96 or so. Well, no, it had to be 94 or 95.
92.
Wow.
Yes.
Hey, Chris. Still
very 92.
Yeah, Adam.
It's a pretty good riff.
It's catchy, yeah.
We're all bobbing our heads.
Got a nice bottom, man.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
It's a pretty basic song. You guys know this one?
Yeah.
I got away from the hook.
There you go.
Bagley.
It got some spins on K-Rock back in the day. All right, we have the March Madness Madness. All right, we will take ourselves a break. We will come back and we'll do March Madness, the hungover edition of March Madness Madness right after this.
Adam Carolla's I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, navigating our all woke, no joke culture, has over 1,000 five-star reviews on Amazon. Here's one.
Y las Adam Carolla, como un sen, get through the amazing.
Yeah, Ozzy. Pick up I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, navigating our all woke, no joke culture, and leave your five-star review on Amazon. Get all the links at adamcarolla.com.
All right. Let's see. Should we roll right into it, Dawson?
It's time again for more engagement and enragement in the Big Rants. March Madness Madness. Let's recap yesterday's bittersweet 16 action. In the California Conference, LA's homeless problem was sent fleeing from the tournament like a California taxpayer to Texas by Gavin Newsom. And in the Classics Conference, unrinsed coffee mugs were stubborn and hard to remove from the tournament. They advanced over Click It or Ticket. Today, first up, more action in the California Conference, with Mayor Garcetti putting on his yoga pants to go up against Forest Lawn Flower Guys.
Garcetti, I know you want to rule everything with empathy and love and sympathy, and we need to reach out like it's one big long fucking Subaru commercial. How about you do what I've been suggesting my entire adult life? How about we run Los Angeles like it's a fucking business? Just run it like a business. And people go, Garcetti would never do that because he's all Mr. Fucking Feel Good. And that's not touchy-feely enough. Guess what is sympathetic and empathetic? To run a well-managed business. If you have a good business, your fucking employees are taken care of. It's not like, oh, this guy wants to go to a corner office and smoke a cigar and run the city like a business. What about these people? What about the people who need the help? What about the homeless people? What about the disenfranchised? You fucking run your business right, and those people shall be taken care of. Go down to Silicon Valley. They run a fucking hell of a business over there. Go into Google. Go into Disney. Go into any of these other big... Go up the street to fucking Disney up here. They run a business. Guess what? The outside of the business has cacti, has flora and fauna, not a fucking weed anywhere, no homeless, no graffiti, no nothing. Let's run it like a fucking business. We don't have to run it like a fucking sweatshop. Run it like a fucking business. Do not believe me? Walk down to Disney. Like I said, go over to DreamWorks. Go to any of these places and see how people flourish when you run something like a fucking business.
Forest Lawn Flower Guys.
Oh, Forest Lawn Flower Guys. They are folks that are here that are working in a underground dark world of selling flowers without paying taxes, without pulling permits, without doing anything that you would that would involve a society. But here's an angle nobody touches on. The fucking garbage angle. If you drive down Forest Lawn Drive and you see the dirt highway these guys stand on and sell all their flowers, there are no trash cans there. There's no nothing there. So when they're done selling their flowers, the boxes, the wrappers, all the shit that the flowers came in just pile up by the fucking side of the road, making it that much uglier. Not as ugly as the other side of the road where the cop on the motorcycle's handing out chicken shit tickets to fucking taxpayers. And let's talk about traffic. Because if you go over there on a Saturday and you get off the freeway, they're all standing by the side of the freeway now. I almost got into an accident because some guy stopped there and was undergoing business while the rest of the fucking freeway on-ramp just backed up all the way in the fucking front freeway. It is illegal. The money is not taxed. You are causing traffic. You're causing congestion. You're causing trash. And Nana is none the better for it because she knows you bought her cheap flowers. That's right. She's floating above you. You didn't go to the Toluca Lake florist. You went and bought it off the illegals for $9. You think Nana likes you being cheap after she's dead? I don't think so. And here's an interesting experiment. What if the guy who owned the Toluca Lake flower shop 2 miles away, what if that guy just went out and started selling it on the street? Do you think he could get away with it? No, it would cause traffic, it would cause trash, and they'd want to know where his fucking permit was.
Whew. Oh boy.
Yeah.
I don't know if we should blame Chris Morgan, his gin or his wine, or maybe the dueling old fashions, but he stumbled out of the gate a little bit. But bringing in Nana and her floating corpse was inspired. Also, the trash angle. I'm leaning towards Forest Lawn Flower Guy.
I absolutely agree. Once again, the Jews have it all figured out. We don't bring flowers. We bring rocks, and we put those on your tombstone. So, again, no frills casket, and we bring rocks instead of flowers. But since nobody else does that, this rant makes a lot of sense. I also vote for flowers on the off-way ramp.
Next up, a matchup from the Classics Conference that's sure to make someone cry like a little girl. It's Alyssa Milano versus Gillette's Toxic Masculinity ad.
Let's just drill down on the name Alyssa. I mean, we have a Melissa and we have an Elisa. Do we really need an Alyssa? Is that even a real name? I'd like to check some fucking ID. I don't even sign off on that name. Alyssa? What do we need to make our own names up for? Come on, girl. And as far as politics go, I would like to take an experiment. I would like to take Scott Baio on the right, washed up celebrity, hard right, Alyssa Milano on the left, washed up celebrity, hard left, and really settle it by forcing them to mate and see whether they gave birth to a Republican or a Democrat. Oh, Gillette's toxic masculinity. I know. Keep going. Keep going, people. We're all just going to turn into one fucking Ken doll here with half a vagina and half a penis. Let's get rid of all the men. Careful what you fucking ask for, because men, as previously discussed, we do the bridge building, we win the wars, we build the skyscrapers, we cure the diseases, we don't push cuticles, and we don't fucking tint hair or frost tips. We do a lot of the fucking heavy lifting in this society, but of course, Gillette would like to get rid of it because it's toxic. And in fact, it's not even toxic masculinity, it's just masculinity that you guys don't like. But the last I checked, you fucking hypocrites. And by the way, Gillette, you don't give two shits about toxic masculinity. You don't care any more about toxic masculinity than Subaru cares about puppies or love. It's all just a fucking ruse to push more of your shit onto people and try to fool us into something we believe, something that never you never formally said a word about. But you guys make a razor. You make a razor called the Venus. You make it for women. Why should women have to shave their legs? Why should women have to shave their crotch? Why? Venus, by the way, is the goddess of sex and beauty. So which is it? Are you pushing it or are you fucking pulling it? I say, fine, we'll get rid of toxic masculinity. You fucking get rid of your razors and let's all fucking fuck like we're Ron Jeremy fucking a throw pillow.
Woo. Wow. A much more inspired matchup than I anticipated.
Yeah, I can tell that Adam's a little sweaty and winded, as he should be.
I am.
I really didn't think we were going to get better.
Smells like a distillery
like
in there.
Gin in here. Yeah.
I didn't think we were going to get better than the idea of the sort of the sexual cage match between Alyssa Milano and, right. and Scott Baio. I thought that was inspired. However, in an odd way, and maybe not the way that we'd all think of it, that last rant belongs in a gender study class. That was about big business, about gender. I thought it was three-dimensional, gripping. I loved the toxic masculinity rant.
Yeah, I'm with you, Gina. The first one, while fascinating and quite the reach, definitely bordered a little too much on eugenics. Mm. And the second rant came out of the game strong with half genitalia and never looked back. I'm going with toxic masculinity as well.
Finally, in the big government conference, it's the minimum wage versus food stamps and school lunches.
The minimum wage. Well, okay, Washington, we're going to make everybody rich by just demanding that employers pay them a $15 minimum wage. Well, guess what? Soon as you start laying that down, what do the employers do? They start cutting back hours. They start automating now. Yes, McDonald's, if you say we're going to have 30 employees and they all need to get 15 bucks an hour, well, guess how many employees they're going to fucking cut, how many kiosks they're going to build, how many robot burger flippers they are going to have. And at some point, no one ever talks about this. What about when those robots become our overlords? That's right. Today, it's flipping burgers. Tomorrow, it's pistol whipping its subjects and sodomizing them with a dry robot cock. Oh, yes. Hell hath no fury like a dry robot cock. But let me explain something, politicians. You don't think business guys are smarter than you? Oh, they're smarter than you. Whatever it is you want them to do, they ain't going to do it. Go ahead, raise taxes. They'll go offshore. Go ahead and raise the minimum wage. They'll cut back on employees and start hiring robots. You are not smarter than them. I have a suggestion, politicians. How about you step the fuck back and let the smart people handle their own businesses? School, what do we got? Food stamps and school lunches? First off, I used to get tickets for free school lunches. This shit is empty calories and then some. It is not a good sign when you are getting spaghetti and it's served to you from an ice cream scooper. That is a very fucking bad sign. That either means you're fucking dirt poor and your mom doesn't give a shit or you're in goddamn juvie. But let me tell you what I don't like the most about it. I don't like indoctrinating the kids. I don't like getting them on to the government teat, especially as they get fatter and fatter. Yeah, there's food insecurities. I feel like most of those kids have tough skin insecurities because that fucking button is going to give way, shoot across a fucking parking lot and take out a fucking plate glass window if that fat kid with the food insecurities gets any bigger. But I'll tell you what's insidious about it. You watch that movie, The Town. You see what the florist did? Hooks them up. Good and proper. Good and proper. So you get these kids coming in, you give them the fucking free food, you give them the free breakfast, you give them the free lunch, you give them the free dinner, then you give them the weekend food as well, and they're hooked up good and proper.
The second rant was much more inspired than I anticipated. However, alerting all of us to the terrors of AI, it gives the first one a slight nod for me. What say you, Gina?
Yeah, I think there was something really inspiring about the accent at the end that I could have listened to, you know, for another 3 minutes. But I think you're right. I think Adam bringing up the Matrix without even knowing he brought up the Matrix is probably something that we should look into more. I, too, go for minimum wage.
Get your bracket at AdamCarolla.com and tune in tomorrow for the start of the Irate 8 as the Big Rants rolls on in March Madness Madness.
So there's this Joel Grover who does these like undercover investigations. Local guy, I think. Wedding.
I think, I don't think I'm wrong here. I think he's the reason we have rating systems on restaurants, right?
Yes. I think he's the grandfather of that.
Yeah.
He did a thing because L.A. is turning into a trash heap. Like I was talking to, well, all the homeless stuff is all the trash, but then there's just trash everywhere. And because there's dumping everywhere, which is something I've always said that everyone's doing, but no one's really doing anything about it. So he went out and did a little investigation, and I think it's about 2.5 minutes, and we'll 2:20. We'll play it for you.
Investigative reporter Joel Grover tonight got the first look at a blistering report that was made public today. This report details how the city of Los Angeles has failed to control the epidemic, they call it, of illegally dumped trash.
Mounds of filthy, rat-infested trash now block city streets, alleyways, and litter the freeways. Eyesores like these have become as much a part of the L.A. landscape as the mountains and the sea.
It's utterly unacceptable, and we are all experiencing it, unfortunately, in every single neighborhood of Los Angeles.
L.A. City Controller Ron Galperin gave the I-Team a first look at this scathing report called Piling Up, Addressing L.A.'s Illegal Dumping Problem.
Responsibility stops with me.
Almost 2 years ago, after questions from the NBC4 I-Team, Mayor Eric Garcetti vowed to crack down on illegal dumping.
We will not tolerate businesses that use our public streets, our spaces, or alleyways as their private dumping ground.
To catch the illegal
Hold
dumpers,
on a second.
Garcetti promised to install...
These yep. aren't businesses.
Yep, that's yeah. what I
mean. This is
say.
Garbage.
It's like toxic waste.
Yeah, the thing is they make it expensive to use the dump. Dumpsters are expensive. Construction dumpsters. Stuff is expensive. It ain't... They don't do large item pickup is a big deal. So you can't, if you want to throw away a mattress, you can't drag it out to the curb on garbage day. You have to like make an appointment and people aren't doing it because nothing's enforced. So they just go, fuck it. I'll just go to the alley or go to the side street by the side of the freeway and we'll just dump it. I do like these blaming businesses, but all right, go ahead. Sorry, Dawson.
Catch the illegal dumpers, Garcetti promised to install a network of surveillance cameras. Now, Galperin's report says there are only 19 cameras installed in a city of 470 square miles, about one camera to watch every 25 square miles. The mayor also vowed to issue stiff citations to people caught illegally dumping trash. But Galperin says the citations are often only about $250.
When you consider how much it costs to legally dump, it actually pays for many, particularly in construction or other kinds of activity, to do that illegally.
How big do you want to see the fines for illegal dumping?
State law allows up to $3,000 fines, so at the very least that amount.
Controller Galperin says the city needs more sanitation workers to clean up illegally dumped trash heaps.
It's a public health issue, a public safety issue, an environmental issue, and a quality of life issue for everybody.
The head of LA Sanitation tells the I-Team his department has made good progress combating the illegal dumping problem. But he says because of a city hiring freeze during the pandemic, there are now 17 vacancies in sanitation that can't be filled, even as the trash continues piling up.
The I-Team has reached out to the mayor's office repeatedly since yesterday, asking for a comment on the controller's report, and they still haven't provided a statement to NBC4.
That's like I told you guys all those years ago when I was at Garrigus's party at his house. I just said, and this is why you want to run the city like a business. You know, you got a problem. What's the problem? Well, people don't want to pay $200 to go to the dump. They can't afford it. These are poor people, essentially. And they're just dumping everywhere. And it turns the place into a shithole. You got to go to the Home Depot and you got to fucking have a guy. I went to the Home Depot in Hollywood once, and I told you an inspector from the city inspection department, building and safety, this guy came up to me and wanted to know like where I was going with my 10 sheets of drywall because he suspected I had bootlegged or whatever. Uh-huh. Obviously, when they want something. See, yeah. The inspections, they want your money. They want money. So they'll dispatch a guy to go to the Home Depot. Then that guy will stand around and he'll look, you know, if you're buying a toilet brush, he's not going to talk to you. But if you got a big stack of drywall and 2x4s, he wants to know if you're pulling a permit. I remember he said to me, "Do you have a permit?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "What's the permit number?" And I said, "Nobody knows their permit number." Yeah. And he went, "Okay." And he walked away. It's a fucking 13-digit number, like yeah. Anyone knows what a fucking permit number is. But anyway, I guess he's just looking for a little fear in my eyes. But dispatch people, go to the Home Depot, hand out fucking vouchers to go to the dump. You can go for free. Put it up on one of those fucking freeway signs instead of click it or ticket. Just go, you have stuff, you have a sofa, you have a bed, you have construction material debris, free. You get a free fucking thing, and we'll give you a fucking voucher for Knott's Berry Farm or a 12-pack of Tecate would probably actually do it. But incentivize people to do the fucking right thing. Hiring more people with brooms, and I don't even know what we're doing with the cameras. These guys are in cars. The cars, first off, aren't even registered. They're old beater pickup trucks. Guys are just chucking shit out at night and driving off. What are you going to do with the camera?
Well, the broom thing you alluded to, the solution that he threw out, like the city needs to hire more sanitation workers. It's like saying, "Oh, my daughter's cutting herself. I need to get more Band-Aids." Like, no, that may help a little bit in the short term, but you need to do some work.
Yeah, we need to figure out why do we have so many people motivated to throw garbage out? And the reality is the dump is far away. I used to go there when I was doing it. You do a job and, you know, that was an expense and it kind of came out of your end of it. I mean, you should work it into the bid, but most of these guys aren't really that sophisticated. So you end up throwing it out in the street. Now, what I would do is a semi-illegal, slightly nicer version of this when me and my buddies would do this kind of stuff because a dumpster is expensive and the dump is expensive. We would end up going out on a Sunday night and throwing it into a dumpster, like find a construction site. Yeah,
it's a problem with that.
Yeah, it's not right, but it's not throwing it on the ground. We would always toss it into a dumpster. But and then the more you get, the more you're going to get. And then you end up having a super trashy looking city. But the point is figure it out. More cameras, more guys with brooms. That's not what's going on. Start at the Home Depot, dispatch people, have them hand out shit, do it in English and Spanish, put it up on the freeway signs, and stop the problem. More cameras. I don't even know what that is. Ryan.
Well, and that was just a gesture anyway, because they put 19 cameras up for 420,000 square miles.
Yes, I know. One camera every 25 square miles. One camera doesn't work on your half-size residential lot. Right. You need two cameras to figure out what's going on your property. Ryan, you saw someone dumping?
Oh, yeah. I looked her straight in the eyes. She looked right at me, and she knew that she'd been caught. But I felt like I'd be a huge dick, like if I just, you know, took a video of her face. So I waited until she got back in the car and then popped some photos.
Well, the reality is it's all poor people. This is not, you know, an elitist sport going out in the middle of the night and dumping a bunch of shit. They're not doing it because they're bad people. They're doing it because they're poor people and they don't want to spend. They don't want to spend the money. And the city is not doing whatever the city needs to do to prevent them, de-incentivize them from doing it. So, again, back to the rant, run it like a business, because what would a business do? If a business was going, "Well, we got this big problem. Well, let's get more cameras." Someone would go, "That's real expensive, and I don't think it's going to stop this problem. Let's approach it from a different angle." All right, let me hit. Where'd you see them dumping it out here?
Yeah, it was just right. It's just that classic little walk that you always take. It's right by all the weeds and stuff. And honestly, she didn't seem that poor. Like, she seemed like maybe she was a nanny or something. She was driving like a Prius, I think.
Oh, I wonder if there's a, well, here's an interesting thing. There's probably a version where people say, hey, here's $100. Take this stuff to the dump. And they just pocket it and just dump it there. Either way, trash in the city. Now, it's kind of hard to tell with all the homeless now because I can't tell what's trash and what's someone's home. That could be their den or their entry hall these days. Either way, not good. Let's see if we can fix it. And again, when I was telling some city council guy over at Garrigus's house, he was like, oh, that's a good idea. They've never followed up. They never did it. Like I said, he circled back to me 20 minutes later and he goes, what was that idea again? Which, never a good sign. But here we go. So the woman who did the dumping was dumping drywall.
Out of a Prius?
Yeah, and disassembled table and cardboard. Yeah, it's expensive. I don't know. You guys ever do large item pickup?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you pay your, you know, your whatever bill, and that's part of the service, but it's expensive. And yeah, you got to arrange it a week ahead of time or whatever. It's not a simple process. Yeah.
Well, no, but you know why I did it? Because when I lived, and I would do it here too, but when I lived in Miracle Mile, I know my neighbors, and I know the other people in the building, and I know the other people on the street. And when they see me carrying this disgusting couch out, I don't want to be shamed by the neighborhood. So shame works. I don't want to be the one that doesn't look after the neighborhood.
Well, like we've talked about, all you do is you make aluminum cans worth 50 cents a pound or whatever it is, and there's no aluminum cans. Like I said, you will see garbage and furniture and beds and box springs and recliners and drywall and stucco. You'll see everything but aluminum cans.
Yeah.
Because there's a value to them. So we need to kind of create that for the garbage.
Yep.
And then it will be taken care of. All right. Rachel Yucatel is going to join us. And I want to talk to her about that that HBO documentary. Does everyone see Tiger?
Yes.
Yeah, all of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was it two parts?
Yes, two parts.
It was two parts. 90-minute parts.
It was actually like sort of the dividing line was Rachel. Rachel was the bookmark.
Yeah, she came in
between,
at the end of the
she was the tease at the end.
Both.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with Rachel right after this.